seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to John's Gospel, chapter 20, and the 10th verse. John's Gospel, chapter 20, and verse 10. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. John chapter 20 and the 10th verse. Then the disciples went away again to their own home. I was thinking of being isolated, many of us, because of the coronavirus. And these words seem to come to me about the dear disciples going to their own home after they had been to the sepulchre and found it empty. And there's no doubt there were many thoughts went through their hearts, dear Peter and John, as they went to their own home, knowing the tomb was now empty. And what a wonderful day it was of the glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus. I want us help this morning to just bring before you a few things concerning the word home, really. There is a parallel word concerning dear Hannah and Elkanah in the first book of Samuel in chapter 2, where the Lord had wonderfully blessed Hannah and given her Samuel. And we read, and Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, "The Lord give the seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord." And they went to their own home. And in thinking upon this word, one thinks of the the work of God in sinners' hearts. You know, as we are born, we think that this world is our home. And so it was with Ruth and Orpah. They were well satisfied with the home of Moab, where they were brought up. That was their natural home, and two, spiritually. But the Lord had wonderfully worked in the heart of Ruth and made her feel that this was not her home. All she desired was to be with the Lord's people, because she felt at home with them. It's a wonderful thing when we can feel at home with the Lord's dear children. The hymn writer in 1048 spoke a beautiful word. When that hymn, "We've no abiding city here, sad truth, were this to be our home." But let the thought our spirit cheer, we seek a city yet to come. And in that first verse too, "We've no abiding city here, this may distress the worldling's mind, but should not cost the saint a tear who hopes a better rest to find." The Lord will make his dear people feel the great need of an eternal home. And oh, when you think of how the Lord dealt with dear Ruth, and bringing her out of Moab and putting her among his dear people, and how she was made at home with Naomi, a beautiful type of the children of God. And then too, how the Lord made her feel so at home in the field of Boaz, where she could glean. And one feels the great loss, really, in a sense, that we're not able to gather in his house, where on so many occasions we have felt at home. And dear Ruth was favoured to feel at home in that field among the reapers gleaning, because it belonged to Boaz, and he was a beautiful type of the dear Lord Jesus. And we think of how she was so favoured to be at home too with Boaz, and that is where the Lord's people long to be, at home with their dear Redeemer. And when we're favoured to feel and to know his sweet presence with us, oh, how we feel then at home. It's a wonderful place, really, to be at home. We're looking at it in a natural way, first of all. We are blessed with a good home and those we love around us, but many in the earth today have no home to go to, no God to go to. But the real child of God will know what it is when the Lord is with them. They feel at home with him in their hearts, and his sweet presence with them. I want to look at a few of the cases in the Word of God where there were those that were brought into places where they feel to be at home. And one thinks particularly, and I will just refer to it, in the case of dear old Jacob, when he was brought to Bethel. It was a searching place, and so often God's house, where his people dwell, know what it is to be a searching place, and yet it was a most blessed place. And there at Bethel, the Lord caused dear Jacob to fall into sleep and to dream. And I'll read you the few verses there. And Jacob went from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of the Lord ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And then this beautiful promise, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel, because the name of that place, that city, was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee tenth unto thee. And there we see how Jacob was made to feel alone and at home with his God. And then we think too of Moses, when he came to the burning bush, and oh, how wonderfully the Lord appeared to him. And he was made to feel at home with his God. And I'll just read you the few verses. And now Moses, in the third chapter of Exodus, and Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. You know, when we're brought to feel at home, we feel so unworthy, so unfit, and how we have to unloose our shoes from off our feet, for the ground whereon we stand is holy ground. That is a very sacred place, and that the Lord will make you feel then at home with him. And then we think too of our text, you see, then the disciples went away again to their own home. And one's mind goes to Legion, the Mad Gadarene. You see, to start with, he felt at home among the tombs, among the dead. And when we look around today and we've no stones to cast at them, because in our unregenerate days we felt at home with the world, at home with pleasures of the earth, at home with the things of time. But oh, as I said to start with, we've no abiding city here. And oh, with Legion, you see, he felt at home. The devil was satisfying him to be among the tombs and among the dead, and he felt at home with them until the Lord cast Satan out. And oh, how he sent that great multitude of the swine into the sea, and they were choked. And Satan, you see, could do more in those swine than he could in that dear man. But what I wanted to name was, the Lord brought him to sit at his dear feet. And we read in Mark 5 that, and they came to Jesus to see him that was possessed with the devils, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And oh, how the dear man, he wanted to stay there the rest of his life. But the Lord Jesus had more for him to do. And there's a wonderful word there in that 19th verse, where we read, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, and saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath compassion on thee." He commanded him to go home. Now, you know, you may wonder why such a man should have friends, but you see, his friends were no longer among the dead, among the world, the ungodly, and the deadness of the tombs, but his friends were among God's people. And this is where he wanted to be. And the Lord Jesus said to him, "Go home to thy friends." And what a mercy it is if we can go home to our friends and tell what great things the Lord hath done for us. And those of you that may feel a great love to his dear people, why can't you go home? There were those we long for thee to the Lord to bring. We long for them to be able to tell a little of what he has done, and they are to go home and do it. And you see, Legion had got something to tell them, and the Lord had wonderfully worked in him and drew him away from all that place he'd been in, and cast the devils out, and he could truly glorify and praise the Lord's holy name, and hath had compassion on me. And are there not those, even today, the Lord has had compassion on them, and they can tell of his wondrous works? It may be but a few words, but it's the reality that counts. It's not the volume of words. It's what the Lord has done. In thinking upon this, one thinks of my late dear aunt. She was baptised at Staplehurst in 1950. And she was wonderfully blessed and brought to follow the Lord. And when she was baptised, she came up out of the water, and after the service she said to some of the dear friends a beautiful verse in the closing verse of hymn 139: "There would I find a settled rest, while others go and come, no more a stranger nor a guest, but like a child at home." And you know, that's how she felt. And among his people, like a child at home. And I just want to remind you of the text where it says, "Then the disciples went away again unto their own home," the where God had provided for them among his people, and where they could dwell. And you know, a child is, when it's at home, it's at liberty. So often, you know, you take a little child out and it's shy, it's nervous. But when it's at home, it knows where everything is, it's free and it's at liberty. And that caused me to think, you know, what a wonderful thing when we feel at liberty. And only the Lord can give us that liberty. Liberty to speak to his dear people. Liberty so we feel free from the bondage of sin, the bondage of Satan, the bondage of this world. Jesus said, "If the Son shall make you free, then are ye free indeed." And you know, really with this, and I hadn't thought of it before, but with these dear disciples and the dear women, Mary Magdalene and the others, the Lord had risen. They were to be liberated and set free. And they could truly praise and bless the Lord for that glorious resurrection morn. They were at liberty. And may we see many that feel bound today, shut up and cannot come forth, set at liberty. And when he sets the soul at liberty, they're absolutely free. And that freedom was all granted by the Saviour's suffering, bleeding, dying at Calvary, to set his people free. And only he can grant that sweet liberty. But secondly, regarding like the house of God, our spiritual home, it's a wonderful thing to feel liberty there at the throne of grace, and liberty when we come before the Lord in our secret petitions and in our family worship. There's nothing like that liberty when we can tell the Lord everything. But thinking of God's house and it being our home, it's a place, and looking at it naturally too, it's the place where we feed, isn't it? wonderful thing to be fed naturally and at home, and the meals we're favoured with. But think about it spiritually. Being at home in God's house and feeding under the ministry of the Word. You know, this is a great burden and concern of mine, that the souls of his people might be fed. And, oh, how wonderfully when there are those crumbs that fall from the Master's table. And then there are those times where, like the spouse in the Song of Solomon, when we read that he brought her into the banqueting house and his banner over her was love. And oh, that we might banquet with our King, even Jesus. So it's a wonderful place to be at home and be fed with living bread. Jesus said, "Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, there is no life in you." And oh, that we may feed at the Lord's table upon his sufferings, upon his death, and feed as he leads us into the trials and afflictions of the journey, to be led to feed upon him, that heavenly food. The world knows nothing of it. The child of God feeds upon Christ. He is their meat and their drink, their portion, their Lord and their all. And oh, that we may know more and more sweet feeding times. But then another thing concerning this at home, it's a place of rest. Oh, how wonderful it is when we can rest. And, oh, there is a sweet resting in the house of God, in the Lord himself. Well, hymn writer said, "When thy eye of faith is dim, rest thou on Jesus, sink or swim." And we are told by the apostle, "There remaineth therefore rest for the people of God." There are those promises we can rest upon. And when they are brought before us in God's house, and it may be in the reading, it may be in the hymns, it may be in the prayer, it may be in the sermon, those sweet promises that he brings to his people, and the sinner can rest upon them. Such as this word, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." And oh, that we might rest in those everlasting arms. And then too, of course, before we come toward the Amen, the rest that remains in heaven for the Lord's dear people. An eternal home is prepared for them. Jesus said, didn't he, in John 14, that I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And oh, what a mercy it is that there is an eternal resting place. We often think, as we lay one another in Mother Earth, to rest for the resurrection morn, we think of that blessed resting in glory for their souls. An eternal resting place where they can see their dear Redeemer just as he is, and the sinner, like Ruth, as we commence with this morning, she desired an eternal resting place. This earth was not her home. But there are places, as we have looked at, where we are brought to feel at home here, because we've got the Lord with us. And may these few rambling remarks be blessed to our souls today, and may we have the sweet assurance that the day will come when we shall be, as the hymn writer said, with Christ at home, with him above the skies, that eternal resting place, which will be forever. And we can join in the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. Well, may the Lord bless his word and pardon anything amiss and come over the poverty of these few rambling remarks for his dear name's sake. Amen.